I am dealing with either a sciatic nerve or a hip that's giving me problems. So that's why I'm sitting, and that's why I'm not moving around the least amount I have to. All right? We thank God for all that he's been doing and what he is doing. Amen? I'm going to talk about something tonight that we all have to deal with, and that's fear. You know, we don't have to let fear rule us or in. When fear comes in the door, faith goes out the window. So, you know, we have to deal with circumstances that are not favorable sometimes, causes fear. People say things to us that might not help us much. And the enemy may attack us. But we can't fear. Difficulties, hardships, things come. Praise the Lord. But, you know, we don't have to let any of these cause us to have fear. Well, praise the Lord. There's John and Bonnie and Matt. Praise the Lord. Good. We just mentioned y'all to pray for you, but... All right. You know, 2 Timothy 1:7 is a scripture that I quote sometimes two, three, four times a day. God's not given us the spirit of fear, but a power and a love and a sound mind. Now, fear is a spirit that will come in on you. And he gives you power and love and a sound mind. You cannot think straight when you're in fear. You will make a wrong decision in fear. In fact, that's one of the things that they, in the military, they trained me anyway, and when I was in the Army, when I went through training, they said, don't ever panic or get in fear. If you do, you'll be dead. They said, you don't make proper decisions when you're afraid. You have to keep a clear head. And the New Living Translation says, for God not given us the spirit of fear and timidity, but a power, love, and self-discipline. And the voice says, you see, God did not give us a cowardly spirit, but a powerful, loving, and disciplined spirit. Now, you know, as we read about Paul's missionary journeys, he had quite the opportunity to get in fear. But when he was writing to his son in the faith, Timothy, he said, God's not given us a spirit of fear, but a power and a love and sound mind. He may have wrote that to Timothy because Timothy may have been having some problems as he was pastoring that church. Now, if Paul could write that in all of the things that he went through, we surely can get a hold of that and work with it. You know, if you bold, you need to boldly stand against it. You know, fear robs you of blessings of God. Now, the devil uses fear as a vehicle to steal from you. Many people are gripped with fear when it comes to certain things. Some people are fearful of heights. Some people are fearful of other things, but you don't have to have a spirit of fear. God, see, you know, Corey Ten Boom said, never be afraid to trust an unknown future to a known God. She was a lady that survived the Holocaust and had written some books. But I like this. Never be afraid to trust an unknown future to a known God. Come on. We don't, you know, many times when we don't know what the future is, we don't know what's out in front of us, but you may not know the future, but you know the God that knows the future. Right. He knows that better than we know our past. You know, things in this world seem to be getting worse and worse, and people becoming increasingly anti-Christ. And if we listen to some people, we'd run for the hills. you know, and shut everything down, and they're afraid of everything. And then if you listen to some people, they're telling you to buy all of this stuff so you'll have food and so forth and so on. And the thing about it is, if it gets to that point, God's going to take care of his children. He took care of the children of Israel, and I believe he'll take care of us if we'll not get him freer and just believe him. Either he's going to take care of us, he's going to come down and take us out of here. One of the two. And somebody said, well, you sort of simplistic. Well, I just believe what the Bible says. That's all. You know, if you let fear take over your thinking, you cannot have a clear mind. And now God didn't call us just to survive. He called us to thrive. Thrive. Yeah, maybe I can work. I can't even talk. Now, let's look at David. Now, he was called to God as a young boy. Samuel anointed him to be the king of Israel when he was a teenager. And he had many opportunities, you know, to fear. He had lions and bears that when he was out there with his father's sheep. Then he fought the giant when nobody else would when he was about 17 years old. And then he was fleeing for his life from King Saul, because Saul had went off of the deep end, we might say. And then as king of Israel, he dealt with the Philistines and other enemies. He had to deal with the family members that his son Absalom tried to take the throne from him. You know, and in Psalms 27:1, he said, "The Lord is my light and salvation, so why should I be afraid? The Lord is my fortress, protecting me from danger, so why should I tremble? When evil people come to devour me, when my enemies and my foes attack me, they will stumble and fall. Though a mighty army surrounds me, my heart will not fear. Even if I am attacked, I will remain confident." Because I'm reading that from the New Living Translation. You know, we were singing the song this morning about being confident in the Lord. I forgot how it goes. How's it go? I remain confident in this. I will see the goodness of God. You know, confident means that you are set and nothing can keep you from believing God. David knew that his God would protect him. He believed it. He lived with it. And he triumphed. He was not afraid to travel the road that God had wanted him to go. He's an example of what can happen if a person does not let fear rule their life and trust God. You know, fear often is not based on fact. Most of the time, fear comes from the fact that it's circumstantial, it's not really true, but you get into fear. Like when I was a kid growing up, I was sleeping there, and the back porch and the door was there, and my room I was sleeping in, and something woke me up, and then there was then a noise, and it looked like a hand on the shade. We didn't have, with the house, we had shades. Anybody know what it is, have shades? And, you know, and if there's, you know, they, and so what it, the light, there was light on outside. I think the porch light was on. And at first, I was afraid somebody's breaking in. Oh, you know, and then finally, I was an eighth grader. And finally, I said, this is stupid. So I just jumped up and went over and jerked the door open. And it was the wind moving that old mimosa tree, and a limb was coming down and raking the side of the house. But the way the limb was, look, it looked like it could be a man's hand. You know, but I was in fear of nothing. That's the point I'm trying to make. You see, before I jumped up and went over there, I was in fear, and I was in fear of something that wasn't even there. It was a pseudo thing. It was a false thing. See, that's what the enemy wants to do. There's no need for us to be afraid when God has promised to take care of us. Yes, amen. See, the same God that took care of the people in the Old Testament and in the New Testament, Paul, Peter, all of them, is the same God that will take care of you. Amen. He hadn't changed. Right. You resist fear by thinking thoughts about the protection of God and not about what is coming against you. You know, Psalms 91 is a psalm that we taught our Craig and Denise. And in fact, I don't know, something happened one time and Denise said to this little girl, well, you don't, she said, I think Denise claimed the 91st Psalm. And the little girl said, and Denise said, you don't know the 91st Psalm? Because we had taught it to them. It says, the 91st Psalm says, he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Now that's the New King James, but I want to switch over and read it here from the New Living Translation. Those who live in the shelter of the Most High will find rest in the Almighty. This I declare about the Lord. He alone is my refuge, my place of safety. He's my God, and I trust him. For he will rescue me, or he will rescue you from every trap and protect you from deadly disease. He will cover you with his feathers. He will shelter you with his wings. His faithful promises are your armor and protection. Now, you know, when I read that, he will cover you with his wings. His wings are a shelter. I automatically think of the chicken yard and those old hens that had those chicks. And if there was any kind of danger that come around, she would cluck. Now they may be three or four hens and that have little chickens running around, but when that mother hen began to cluck, those chicks knew who their mother was, and they would run to it. Say, we, and it talks about the word of God, knowing the voice of God, knowing. See, we need to know when things begin to come to us, we need to know whether it's coming, who it's coming from. Because the enemy can bring some things, and he quoted scripture to the Lord. People will quote scripture to you and make it say something it's not supposed to. Okay, let's go on down. Where are we at? We're in verse 4, okay? Verse 5. Do not be afraid of the terror of night, nor the arrow that flies in the day. Do not dread the disease that stalks in the darkness, nor the disaster that strikes at midday. Though 1,000 fall at your side, and though 10,000 are dying around you, the evils will not touch you. Just open your eyes and see how the wicked are punished. If you make the Lord your refuge, if you make the Most High your shelter, no evil will conquer you. No plague gonna come near your home, for he will order his angels to protect you wherever you go. They will hold you up with their hands, so you won't even hurt your foot on a stone. You will trample upon the lion and the scorpion, and this is figurative language. That lion and scorpion is anything that comes against you. You will crush the fierce lions and serpents under your feet. The Lord says, I will rescue those who love me. I will protect those who trust in my name. When they call on me, I will answer. I will be with them in trouble. I will rescue and honor them. I will reward them with long life and give them my salvation. Now that's a great psalm to know, and it's a great psalm to live by. Now, you know, he talked about how he will give his angels charge over you. There is some, and I don't want to get into a theological discussion, but there is quite a bit of evidence that each of us have an angel that goes with us. Yes. And sometimes when you get a thought, maybe it's coming, you know, not to do something. Maybe it's coming from your angel that's trying to keep you from dashing your foot against the stone, in other words. How many of you understand what I'm saying to you? How many of you have ever had something come to you and just out of the clear blue and you don't understand why, but tells you not, it's for your protection. Yeah. You got to learn to listen to that. The enemy tries to attack your mind with fear. The enemy tries to cripple you with our thinking, because if our thinking is wrong, then our believing is wrong and our confession will be wrong. There's a little book out there called Right and Wrong Thinking that has to deal with that. You know, fearful, the enemy is coming to you, so you've got to learn to resist the enemy with the scripture. 91st Psalm's a good one to read. That's a good scripture to read ever so often, you know. And, you know, let's look at a story in the Bible about the disciples having fear. In Mark 4, it says, on the same day, verse 35, when evening had come, he said to them, "Let us cross over to the other side." Now, when they had left the multitude, they took him along in the boat as he was, and other little boats were also with them. A great windstorm arose, and the wave beat into the boat so that it was already filling with water. But he was in the stern asleep on a pillow. They woke him up and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we perished?" And he arose and rebuked the wind, said to the sea, "Peace, be still." And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. But he said to them, "Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith?" He said, "Let us go to the other side." He went back and went to sleep because he fully expected to get to the other side no matter what happened. Amen. See, that's what hinders some people, is that the Bible says that, but this, but that, what about this, what about that? And, you know, he said, "Let us go the other side." So he went and went to sleep because he fully expected to go to the other side. With no, even if a problem came, that's all right. He was going to make the other side. See, that was where they were going across the Sea of Galilee. There was probably about 8 miles, or 13 kilometers, as some people would say. You know, now it seemed the storm was going to sink that boat. It had to be a furious storm, because Peter, James, and John were what we would call commercial fishermen. Yes. They made their living by going out in the Sea of Galilee, catching fish and then bringing them back in and selling them on the market. That we would call it. And they were on that lake all the time. So it had to be a fierce storm, because these were seasoned veterans, veteran sailors. Right. Yes. And so they, you know, it had to be fierce, but they got afraid. Jesus came and rebuked and said, "Why are you so fearful? How is it that you don't have any faith?" See, he said, "Have faith in what I said. I said, let us go to the other side. That's where we're going." Now, you know, it seems that the storms come into our lives and want to sink us and take us down. But you need to not have any fear. I don't know. We were somewhere at one time I was somewhere with some people, and I said, "Well, don't be afraid. We're going to be all right, because I believe God." Amen. Now, you need to take some precaution. You just don't need to go off, you know, crazy somewhere. You know, I don't know about over here, but when I, down in Dallas, I grew up down there. There's some parts of Dallas you didn't want to go into after it got night. Yeah. East Dallas used to be that way when I was growing up. You didn't want to go down there. In fact, when I was associate pastor there at Garland, We had a couple of the guys in our church that were Dallas policemen, and they said after about 8 o'clock, even the policemen don't go. They put two in a squad car, not just one guy. They put two in a squad car to go into that area. You see, there's such a thing as being wise, but there's such a thing as not letting fear grip you too. Hello? You know, we need to understand that there's no fear to there's no need to fear when the Word of God has already told us that we know how to resist fear and how to have protection. See, it says there that we don't have a spirit of fear, but a power and a love and a sound mind. It's important that you understand that the sound mind, that's when you can make a proper decision in the midst of chaos.
Amen.
I have been in situations where it was chaotic and it just seemed like nobody was doing it. I just took charge. Well, one of the guys said, you don't even act like you're afraid. I said, it's a bad situation, but there's no use to be afraid. I'm trusting God. And if everybody will listen, you know, we'll be all right. Somebody said, you know, when the tornadoes come, I begin to resist them in the name of Jesus, but I also take natural precaution.
Sure.
Hello?
Amen.
You know, there are some things in the natural that God gives us a brain to use. And there's some people that get so spiritually out here that they're no earthly good. And then there's people on the other side that are so naturally minded that they're no spiritually good. There is a balance in the middle. There's a balance. You know, they used to have them old scales and they would fix them and then it would balance. You know, I don't know if any of y'all ever seen them. They used to have them, you know, in some of the rural areas before when I was a kid and some of the meat markets, they would put so much weight over here, then they start putting the hamburger meat on there, and when it balanced, then that's the same amount that was over here. See, but we got some people, they over here, some people over here. Hey, we need to stay in the middle and keep a balanced life. In fact, one time, some of the students at Raymond, when was it? They said, I'm always talking about being balanced. Well, that's the way we need to live with the Word of God. We need to be balanced on every subject in the Word of God. Not just fear. I mean, fear is real. You better have some fear and not walk out in the middle of Northwest Highway out there with an 18-wheeler coming down at about 45 miles an hour. He can't stop real fast. He may have 18,000 pounds in that trailer, and if anybody ever been pulling a trailer that was loaded and noticed that you can't stop as fast as you normally stop, you know. So, I mean, we be in that trailer, you know. Cameron, Craig's son, he drives these sprint cars, and so. You know, we got that what is it, 2001, I think, or two, that Ford diesel truck that we pull it with. But I tell you what, I've driven that truck without the trailer hooked onto it, but I've driven it with the trailer and that sprint car loaded in that trailer, and it made a whole lot of difference.
Right.
I got to start stopping a long time before I stop. If I see the signal light, you know, and if you too close to it, they ain't no use trying to stop. You might as well just, if you notice if those 18-wheelers in there, if they're too close to the stoplight, they don't try to stop the thing. They keep going because by the time they got it stopped, they're going to be out in the middle of the intersection anyway. Okay? Hey, we need to realize that there's a time to use our natural senses. But there's a time to realize that we don't have to let fear in either. You know, fear you know, comes to steal, kill, and destroy. See, in fear, you make a wrong decision, you get in trouble, big trouble sometimes. Like I said, you know, faith shuts the door to the enemy. Don't be afraid. Turn to your neighbor and say, don't be afraid.
Don't be afraid.
You know, of course, out here, way out there, out in western Oklahoma, and especially out there in West Texas, and I grew up down there in Texas. In fact, we were just in Seminole sometime this year. We were in Seminole, Texas. And because the airport, we have to land over in Hobbs, New Mexico, which is just, I mean, it's just right there. But that road is straight as an arrow, and it goes forever until it disappears on the horizon. Well, you're running down that road, but you can't see. I mean, you can see way down there, but you don't know what's on the other. You don't know what's over there where you can't see. You don't know what's there. But I want to show you a little secret. As you go, you can see the road comes closer to you because you're getting closer to that horizon, but the horizon never comes. You know, you don't reach it.
No.
See, as you're going down the road of life, you got to realize, hey, I may not can see everything, but I know what God, I know what God can do. See, it may be unknown to you, but it's not unknown to God. Like I said a while ago, God knows the future better than you know your past.
Yes.
See, we don't have to live in fear. Things come against us. The same God that took care of us some other time will take care of us now. Most of us have probably had God take care of us. If he did it once, he'll do it again.
Amen.
Hello?
Amen.
You know, now, look at what the prophet Isaiah said to King Cyrus. And as Isaiah 45, 2 and 3. Now he's talking to the king. And he says, and this is the prophet saying what the Lord said. I will go on before you, and I will make the crooked place straight. I will break the pieces of the iron. I will break the gates of brass and cut the bars of iron. I will give you the treasures of the darkness and the hidden treasure of the secret place, that you may know that I, the Lord, who call you by your name, am the God of Israel. He is telling you he's the God of Israel. Well, he's our God. That's the same God of Israel is our God. And if he said he would do that for them, then he'll do it for us.
Yes.
Let's read the Message Bible. It says, I will go ahead of you clearing and paving the road. I'll break down bronze city gates, smash padlocks, kick down barrier entrances. I'll lead you to the buried treasure, the secret caches of valuables. Confirmation that it is, in fact, I, God, the God of Israel, who calls you by your name. Hey, he's our God. And we sing a song, he knows who I am. Right? He knows us. He knows who we are. Somebody said, sounds too good to be true, but it is true. God knows who we are. And God was speaking here to the king in the old covenant. If he's speaking to the king under the old covenant and we're under the new covenant, see, it says Old Testament and New Testament. That's old covenant and new covenant. And he says there, in Galatians, he says that we have a better covenant established on better promises than they did then. So let me tell you why. If God did it then, he'll do it now. He'll take care of you. So resist fear instead of having fear. Quote the promises of God. Say what God said. See, when you say what God said, that opens him up to work for you.
Right.
See, the enemy will kick the door down.
Yes.
But the Holy Spirit, God, they wait for you to say, okay.
Amen.
By quoting the word.
Yes.
See, resist the devil and he will flee from you.
Amen.
is what it says over there in James. Resist the devil and he will flee. Ever look up to what the definition of the word flee? Run from as in terror.
That's right.
Run. Come on. Run from as in terror.
Yes.
Man, see, in Isaiah 41:10, it says, fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I uphold the right hand of my righteousness. And in Matthew 28:20, he says, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Hebrews 13:5 says, for he himself said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. See, God has promised to be with us no matter where, when, or what. He's there in the good times, in the bad times, and in between times. He's there. God never leaves us. He's always there. He'll hold our hand unless we take our hand down. So you need to always have your hand spiritually reached up to hold on to God. You know, you ever notice you're walking with, my grandsons, they're all grown now. My son's all grown. But I used to, they would reach their hand up and I'd hold on their hand as we was walking. Y'all all know that. Probably y'all probably done it with your kids or your grandkids. See, he has promised to be there all the time. You know, God has promised to help us. Isaiah 41:13, for I, the Lord your God, will hold your right hand, saying to you, fear not, I will help you.
Yes.
Hebrews 13:6, so we may say boldly, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man can do to me. See, God is with us, and he's willing to do what he promised to do. He promised to provide. He promised to heal. He promised to guide. He promised to protect. He promised to help us. God has all the resources if we'll just look to him. No matter what road we're on, God is there ready to help us, willing, able to help us. So do not fear. If fear comes in, run fear out by saying, I don't have the spirit of fear, but I have the spirit of God, the power of love and a sound mind. Hallelujah. I trust you got something out of what I had to say tonight, because, you know, we're looking at some, you know, as you look around with all that's going on and you're watching the TV, and it looks like that it's just the world's gone crazy. And it looks like some of the people that live in our United States have gone crazy, you know. But I tell you what, some people are in fear. No use to be in fear. Trust God. Trust God and believe God and pray. Because the word says that if you'll pray, I will heal your land. That's what it says. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. We got to pray for this prayer cloth right now. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you right now. Put your hands on this cloth, knowing that as we pray for it, the power, healing power of God goes into this cloth. When it's taken to that one, that same healing power will flow out and heal. In Jesus' name, I thank you for it. In the name of Jesus, praise the Lord. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Well, bow your heads for me just a minute. Praise the Lord. Anybody here? I don't ever like to have a service. I don't give an opportunity for somebody to find Jesus or rededicate their life to God. Anybody here in that condition, we want to pray for you now. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, everybody stand up, please. Is there anybody here that needs prayer tonight for healing? I'll be glad to pray for you. And Lord will touch you. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. Glory to God. Well, next Sunday night at 6 o'clock, be here. Amen. We're gonna have church.
Pastor, I need to interrupt you just for a moment, and I think we have one more song that we need to sing tonight. Don't we have a wonderful praise and worship team? Amen. But most importantly, we have the most wonderful pastors ever on the planet, ever in the world. And what we need to do tonight is we need to honor one of our pastors. a couple of weeks ago, Pastor turned 80. It was his birthday. This is the first time we've been able to hog tie you and get you here, Pastor. But he's been traveling. He's been getting the gospel around the world. He's been speaking to the new students coming in. We heard a testimony from with him being out of town about a week ago, somebody being healed, set free. And that's just awesome. So let's go ahead and keep on your feet, and let's honor Pastor Hagin tonight.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, Pastor Hagin.
Pastor, and we want to give you this card in appreciation. We've had people sign it. The kids even traced their hands and everything.
All right. Thanks. Thank you. I appreciate it.
After Pastor, if he wants to say a word or two, everybody's invited to the cafe area. We have some cupcakes and some ice cream. The water and drinks in the cooler are free. The coffee is free. So just go ahead and enjoy as we honor Pastor tonight.
Thank you. I appreciate it. God bless you guys. Go get some whatever they got in there.